Pardon, des lois. Pardon.
Bismillah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم بالإسناد المتصل منا إلى صاحب الكتاب قال حدثنا محمد بن مشعل قال أخبرنا أبو عامر النقدي قال أخبرنا هشام بن سعد أن سعيد بن أبي سعيد أن أبي هريرة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لن ينتهي أن أقوام يفتخرون بآبائهم الذين ماتوا إنما هم فحم جهنم أو ليكونن أهون على الله من الجوع الذي يدهده الخراب أن فإن الله أذهب عنكم بنية الجاهلية وفقرا بأب الآباء إنما هو مؤمن تكون فاجر شقي الناس بنو آدم وآدم خلق من التراب وفي الباب عن ابن عمر بن عباس هذا حديث حسن وفي قال عدن هارون موسى بن أبي القمة الفروي المديني يقال حدثني أبي عن هشام بن سعد أن سعيد بن أبي سعيد أن أبي هريرة أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال قد أثب الله عنكم عبية الجاهلية وفخرا بالآباء مؤمن تقي وفاجر شقي والناس بنو آدم وآدم من تراب هذا حديث حسن وسعيد المقبول قد سمع من أبي هريرة ويروي عن أبيه أشياء كثيرة عن أبي هريرة وقد روى سفيان الثوري وغيره أن هذا حديث هشام بن سعد أن سعيد المقبول عن أبي هريرة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نحو حديث أبي عامر عن هشام بن سعد.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين ورضي الله عن الصحابة الطيبين وعمن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. First of all, I'd like to say that I'm not a good speech maker and my English isn't that good. I'll try my best to give this lesson in English. Today we are going to discuss the last hadith of Sunan al-Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah. The Bukhari ceremony, it is a Muhaddiseen's day because some ahadith are taught, chosen and taught, and lessons are given about those ahadith from the ahadith collection of different muhaddiseen, rahmatullahi alayhim ajma'een. Today I am going to talk about the Sayyidul Muhaddiseen, the leader of the muhaddiseen, because the hadith, obviously there's an isnad, which is the first part, the chain, and then comes the text. So in this chain, obviously we don't have time to talk about all the ravis and the narrators, but the sahabi, who is Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, of this hadith, I would like to talk a few things about him, and then move on to the final hadith, if Allah wills. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his name in the period before Islam was Abdu Shams bin Sakhr. Abdu Shams bin Sakhr, the servant of the sun. His kunya, nickname, pet name was Abul Aswad. Abul Aswad. However, in Islam, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu's name was changed to Abdur Rahman bin Sakhr. Abdur Rahman bin Sakhr. And his kunya became Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa ardah. About the name of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there is a lot of difference of opinion amongst the scholars as what his name was. Qutbi Halabi has mentioned 44 names. Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah in Sharh Muslim and in many of his other kitabs has mentioned Abdul Rahman ibn Sakhr huwa al-asahhu min 30 qawla, that Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu's name, according to the most authentic view, is Abdul Rahman bin Sakhr min 30 qawla, out of 30 qawls, 30 views. Hafiz ibn Hajar rahmatullahi alayhi, in Al-Isaba fi Tamyiz al-Sahaba, has mentioned various names in Taqrib tahdhib, he has mentioned 19 views. And in the end, he has said that the most authentic is Abdul Rahman bin Sakhr. Hafiz ibn Hajar rahmatullahi alayhi has said, he has narrowed this down to 10 names. That 10 names have some substance and evidence to back it up. Then he has further narrowed that down to 3 views. And the most authentic being is Abdul Rahman ibn Sakhr. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, his view, and his student Imam At-Tirmidhi rahimahullah, his teacher and student's view regarding this matter is that Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala and whose name was Abdullah bin Amr. Abdullah bin Amr. So two views enough. One is Abdul Rahman ibn Sakhr, and the second one Abdullah bin Amr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Now that is the name. About Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala and whose kunya, nickname Abu Huraira. Huraira is the diminutive tasghir of Hirratun. Hirra, cat. Huraira, small cat, kitten. The father of the kitten. The kitten's father. How did he get this kunya? Like I said, in Jahiliyyah, the pre-Islamic period, his kunya was Abu al-Aswad. In Sunan al-Tirmidhi, in Abwab al-Manaqib, it is mentioned, Abdullah bin Rafi' rahmatullahi alayhi says, I said to Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala, I asked him, what is the reason you were nicknamed Abu Huraira? Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala, who said, are you not afraid of me? You're asking so freely. Because he was a student. Abdullah bin Rafi said that, of course I am scared of you, but I still want to know. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu then said, I used to graze the sheep and the goats of my family. I had a small kitten. I used to put it up on a tree at night, and in the daytime I used to take it out and play with it. فَكَنَّوْنِي أَبَا هُرَيْرَةً. This way my family nicknamed me Abu Huraira. Hafiz Az-Zahabi rahimahullah in Tadhkiratul Huffaz has mentioned that Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala, whose father, he saw Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu that he had found some wild kittens, and he was playing with them. He asked, where did you find them? After that incident, when he was informed that he had found them while he was grazing the goats and the sheep, his father nicknamed Hazrat Abu Huraira Abu Huraira, or rather said, Anta Abu Hir. Anta Abu Hir. Hir, like I said, Huraira, tasghir, diminutive, like cigarette. So here, Hir, Huraira. His father nicknamed him Abu Huraira. Abu Hir and Abu Huraira. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also called him by this nickname Abu Huraira. However, sometimes out of affection, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him by the nickname Abu Hir. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala who says, this was so dear and beloved to me that he used to tell people, do not call me Abu Huraira. Call me Abu Hir. Do not call me Abu Huraira. Call me Abu Hir. Because a muzakkar, a male cat is better than a cat is better than a female cat. So call me Abu Hir. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, regarding his hifz of the hadith, recollection, and his memory of the hadith, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah and Hazrat Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi both have said, أحفظ مر والحديث في عصره. He knew most, he was the most, out of the Sahaba, he was the one who knew most ahadith of the of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Hafiz ibn Hajar rahmatullahi alayhi said in al-Isaba, أَجْمَعَ أَهْلُ الْحَدِيثِ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ أَكْثَرُ الصَّحَابَةِ حَدِيثًا. That it is the consensus of the muhaddisin, of the traditionalists, that Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu knew most hadith, most traditions than any other sahabi. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi has said that 800 scholars have taken hadith from Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, one being his son-in-law, Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib rahmatullahi alayhi, Sayyid al-Tabi'een, one of the fuqaha sab'a, the seven fuqaha of Medina Munawwara, Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, and also his son Muharrar, this name also comes, anil Muharrar an Abi Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. How many ahadith did Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrate? In the Musnad of Baqi bin Makhlad, 5,364 ahadith are recorded in the Musnad of Baqi bin Makhlad. According to another count, the number of ahadith narrated by Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is 5,374, 10 extra. This is the number given by Imam Zahabi rahmatullahi alayhi in Siyaru A'lam al-Nubala. In Siyaru A'lam al-Nubala, Hafiz Zahabi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions that muttafaq alayhi narrations, those that have been mentioned both in Bukhari and Muslim, agreed upon, they are 326. 326. In Bukhari exclusively there are 93 narrations mentioned, and in Sahih Muslim there are 98 ahadith mentioned only by Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi. However, in certain kitabs there are different figures mentioned, so this matter needs to be investigated thoroughly. The numbers that I have given are to be found or have been written by Imam Zahabi rahmatullahi alayhi. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned a chapter heading in Sahih al-Bukhari, Babu Hifz al-Ilm, chapter regarding the preservation of sacred knowledge. He has mentioned three ahadith, and they are all regarding Hazrat Abu Huraira. He is the narrator of these ahadith. He is trying to demonstrate that Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, through Hazrat Abu Huraira, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved the sacred knowledge of deen through Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. I'm going to briefly mention those ahadith. The first hadith, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, إِنَّ النَّاسَ يَقُولُونَ أَكْثَرَ أَبُو هُرَيْرَى, that the people say, Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has gone to the limit. He has mentioned many ahadith, too many. This was then, who came after the Sahaba, who knew less about Hazrat Abu Huraira, who had less piety. They said, Akthara Abu Huraira. This is also an accusation leveled against Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu since the beginning of Islam and until this day. In Mustadrak al-Hakim, Imam Hakim rahmatullahi alayhi says that the Qadariya have attacked Hazrat Abu Huraira, the Mu'tazila have attacked Hazrat Abu Huraira, the Khawarij have attacked Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. These were sects which were found in the beginning of Islam, in the early ages of Islam. Then we come to modern sects of Islam who call themselves Muslims, they also have leveled abuse and attacked Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, had tried to undermine Hazrat Abu Huraira, to cast doubt on the character, reliability of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Like the Qadiani sect, like the Rawafid, like the Quraniyun, the rejectors of Hadith. Why? Why Hazrat Abu Huraira? Simple. Because Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu had the most knowledge of Ahadith Nabawiyya. If you get rid of Hazrat Abu Huraira from the link, who is a link between us and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you get rid of him and say he's unreliable, he has fabricated hadith, na'uzu billah, then this foundation, this source, this religious source is finished. Then you have a few more ahadith, we can deal with them later. One thing the Orientalists say is that Akthar Abu Huraira. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, who accepted Islam in the 7th year of Hijrah, at the expedition of Khaybar, he remained with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam 3 years, or to a maximum, according to Imam Dhahabi wa huwa al-asahhu, 4 years and a few nights. How was he able to learn so many ahadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whereas Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and many other eminent sahaba, they were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a long period of time, but they do not have this many ahadith mentioned from them. So Hazrat, there are many angles from which they have attacked Hazrat Abu Huraira. However, I'm not going to mention all these things. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he refutes this claim. He says, in another hadith, he refutes this in a beautiful way. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha once said to Hazrat Abu Huraira that you know only what we know. How come you mention more? How come you know more ahadith than we do? Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, أَمَا يَشْغَلُكِ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْمِرْآةُ وَالْمُكْحُلَةُ وَالتَّصَنُّعُ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Were you not occupied with the mirror, with the colorium pot, surma pot, antimony pot, and beautifying yourself for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You were doing these things. Is that not true? وَإِنِّي وَاللَّهِ مَا كَانَ يَشْغَلُنِي عَنْهُ شَيْءٍ. And by Allah, I was not preoccupied with anything else. You are busy with these things, mirror. As a woman, it's natural and it is right for you to be busy with these things. You had the mirror. You were beautifying yourself for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Abu Huraira, he didn't have to do these things. Imam Dhahabi rahmatullahi alayhi, this is mentioned in Mustadrak Hakim, and Imam Dhahabi rahmatullahi alayhi is in agreement with the authentication of Imam Hakim rahmatullahi alayhi. However, Akthara Abu Huraira, before I read the answer that he gave, many eminent sahabi and great sahaba, they backed Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. For example, Talha bin Ubaidillah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as is mentioned in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, the wording, however, I'm taking from Imam Bukhari's Tariq and Musnad Abi Ya'la, a person came to Hazrat Talha bin Ubaidillah and said, does Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu really know more ahadith than you people? Or does he ascribe to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Does he ascribe to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam what the Prophet did not say? In other words, is he fabricating ahadith? Hazrat Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, no. This is not the case. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, who was a poor person, he was the guest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was always with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahi ma nashukku annahu sami'a ma lam nasma' wa 'alima ma lam na'lam. Wallah, I do not doubt that Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu heard what we did not hear. He learnt what we did not learn. In another narration of Sunanul Imam al-Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi, Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma backs Hazrat Abu Huraira. He said to him once, Anta kunta alzamana li Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anta kunta alzamana li Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ahfazana li hadithi. That you stayed more than us in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you retained more ahadith than us. Now moving on to the narration of Bukhari, what did Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala who say? He said, this tongue, I have to open it. This mouth, I have to open it. I have to speak because of two verses of the Quran. Those verses warn against concealing religious knowledge, which is regarding halal and haram. Those two verses are of Surah Baqarah. Had they been not two verses of the Kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I would not mention even one single hadith. Then he recited the two verses. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنْزَلْنَا مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالْهُدَى مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا بَيَّنَّاهُ لِلنَّاسِ فِي الْكِتَابِ أُولَٰئِكَ يَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّاعِنُونَ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَأَصْلَحُوا وَبَيَّنُوا فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَنَا التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Those who conceal the clear evidences and guidance which we have revealed after we have made it clear to the people in the book, in the Torah, أُولَٰئِكَ يَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّهُ, those who conceal the knowledge, أُولَٰئِكَ يَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّهُ, they are those people on whom Allah curses and the curses curse them. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا, except those who repent and reform, وَأَصْلَحُوا وَبَيَّنُوا, and they openly declare, فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِمْ, they are those people whose acceptance I accept, وَأَنَا التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ, and I am the greatest acceptor of repentance, full of mercy. For these two verses, I mentioned these ahadith. Then he said, this was first part of the answer. Second part he said, our brothers from the emigrant, Sahaba-i-Kiram, they were preoccupied with dealing, with trading in the marketplaces. Because they had migrated from Makkah to Medina, they had no land, so they had to trade. This was their way of earning a living. And our brothers from the Ansar, the helpers, they were preoccupied by work, working in their fields, in their property, in their lands. They were landowners. They were busy in that. But what did Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu do? He clung to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He clung to the Messenger of Allah, لِشِبَعِ بَطْنِ, to his stomach's fill. He was hungry, thirsty for knowledge. Little was not enough for him. That's why his minutes, his hours, his days, nights, months, weeks, years that he had, he spent it all with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he also attended that which those people did not attend. And he memorized that which those people did not memorize. So from this hadith, we understand that Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala who had dedicated his life for learning, acquiring religious knowledge, the traditions, the sayings, the statements and the deeds of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From another hadith, Bab al-Hirs al-Hadith, chapter regarding the eagerness of hadith, zeal for hadith. Once Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "Man as'adun nasi bi shafa'atika ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam?" Who is more fortunate of receiving your intercession on the day of judgment? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, "Laqad zanantu ya Aba Huraira. لقد ظننت يا أبا هريرة لا يسألني أحد أول منك لما رأيت من حرصك على الحديث." I thought, Abu Huraira, that no one would ask me before you because of the zeal that I see in you for hadith, the eagerness I see in you for hadith. So that Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala who had zeal for hadith, zeal for religious knowledge. Moving on to the second hadith of Babu Hifz al-Ilm, chapter regarding the preservation of hadith, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu also received a special dua, a special prayer from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu asked, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I hear many ahadith from you, which I forget." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Spread your garment, spread your rida." Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala who says, "I did accordingly, I spread my garment, my rida." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam then motioned with his hands as if he was filling them with something and then emptied that into the garment. It was a symbolic thing. Hazrat Abu Huraira, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Take it, wrap it." In Tirmidhi it says, "Fajama'ahu ala qalbi." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then rolled it up on my heart. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala who says, "I did this. فَمَا نَسِيتُ شَيْئًا بَعْدَهُ." After that, I did not forget a single hadith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives what He wills to whoever He wills. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was able to reproduce a discussion, a statement which he had many years before, without making any changes to it, without deleting a word, without adding a word. This was because of the barakah and the blessing of this amal and this deed that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. In another hadith, which is narrated by Imam Nasa'i in As-Sunan al-Kubra, with a jayyid sanad, Hazrat Abu Huraira, Hazrat Zayd bin Sabit, who is the narrator of this hadith, he says that once three of us, I myself, another person, and Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, who we were in the masjid and we were making certain du'as. Hazrat Zayd bin Sabit made a du'a, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and heard this, said Ameen. The second person made a du'a, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard that, said Ameen. The third person, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, who said, "Oh Allah, give me what my friends have asked for. And also give me ilman la yunsa, knowledge that is never forgotten." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ameen." The other two sahaba, they came forward, "Oh Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we want ilman la yunsa." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Sabaqakuma biha al-ghulam al-dawsi." That this Dawsi young man has beaten you to it. This is, he will only get, only his request for this is granted. He has beaten you to it. Like in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Sabaqaka biha ukasha." Sabaqa biha ukasha. Or sabaqaka biha ukasha. Here, sabaqakuma biha al-ghulam al-Dawsi. And the third hadith in Kitab al-Ilm, in Bab Hifz al-Ilm, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala who says, that I retained, memorized two kinds of knowledge from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. One of them I have propagated, and the other one, if I propagate that type of knowledge, that kind of knowledge, this throat will be cut. The muhaddithin say, simple and straightforward meaning of this is, that what was the second kind of knowledge? Those who have illness in their heart, they say, how can this be true? That means Hazrat Abu Huraira knew something which other Sahabas didn't. Does that mean that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't propagate everything? Ya ayyuha ar-rasul balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik wa illam taf'al fama ballaghta risalata. How can this man be telling the truth? No. The muhaddiseen have explained this, that as far as ilmul halali wal haram, the knowledge of the haram and haram, he propagated that. The knowledge of fitan, ilmul fitan, that he did not expose. He did not make it open. He did not tell the people. Because had he told specific knowledge that he had of certain things that were going to occur in the Muslim Ummah, certain tribes, certain people would cause strife, turmoil in the Ummah, then do you think Hazrat Abu Huraira would live? He would have been marked, he would have been killed. So, Babu Hifz al-Ilm, these are three hadiths mentioned in Babu Hifz al-Ilm. Now, I want to say, like I've said before, that Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi is trying to demonstrate that Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala who preserved the knowledge of deen. Why? Because number one, he tried very hard. Number two, he had a special dua from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And number three, he propagated what he learnt. So, these are strong means of preserving the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another topic, bahas, is that was Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala a mufti or not? Did he issue fatwas? Was he strong in this matter? Ibn Hazm al-Zahiri rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned in his kitab, Al-Ihkam fi usul al-Ahkam. Al-Ihkam fi usul al-Ahkam. Three categories of the fuqaha'i sahaba. Those sahaba'i kiram who issued fatwas, edicts. In the first category, seven sahaba belong to the first category. 20 sahaba belong to the second category. And the rest belong to the third category. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu has been placed by Hazrat Ibn Hazm al-Zahiri rahmatullahi alayhi in the second category. In other words, he was min al-mutawassiteen, from the middle group. Those who issued fatwas would not like the first group. This information that Ibn Hazm al-Zahiri rahmatullahi alayhi has given has been recorded and taken from Al-Ihkam fi Usul al-Ahkam by Hafiz ibn Hajar and in Al-Isaba by Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi in I'lam al-Muwaqi'een al-Rabb al-Alameen by Imam Zahabi in Siyar al-A'lam, and they have all mentioned this without any criticism. That means all these scholars are in agreement with Hazrat Ibn Hazm al-Zahiri in saying that Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a mufti. He was such a mufti that he could take on the heavyweights in this field, which is Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, the sahabi who issued most fatwas, the biggest mufti, the grand mufti of the sahaba. I won't go into which masla it was. It's mentioned in the kutub of hadith. Hafiz al-Zahabi rahmatullahi alayhi has said, min kibari a'immatil fatwa in tadhkiratul huffaz, in siyarul a'lam, he has said, fahuwa ra'asun fil qur'ani wa fil sunnati wa fil fiqh, that Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, who was a leading figure, was a prominent sahabi in the science of Qur'an, he was a big qari also, wa fil sunnah, and he was a preserver of the sunnah, and also, he was also a specialist in the field of fiqh, and he was a mufti. Why I say this? Because in some kitabs of the Hanafi scholars, it says that Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu was not a faqih. Even the Hanafi scholars have rejected this, like Ibn Humam rahmatullahi alayhi has rejected this in At-Tahrir fil Usul, and Mawlana Abdul Hayy al-Laknawi rahmatullahi alayhi has also supported this in As-Si'ayah, Sharhi Wiqaya. Now, this was to do with his knowledge. Now, I'd like to say a few things about how his amal was. Number one, Hazrat, he used to recite and read a lot of tasbih. He used to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a lot. Ibn Sa'd rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned with a sanad which is sahih, authentic, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, who says, أسبح الله بقدر ديتي أسبح الله بقدر ديتي I glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 12,000 times, which is equivalent to my diyah, my blood money. Subhanallah. 12,000 times. 12,000 dirhams is the amount of diyah, blood money. So Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala who says that I used to recite, read, glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 12,000 times so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emancipates me, frees me from the fire of hell. Now, moving to another scholar, because it's something similar, I just wanted to point out. Umair bin Hani, rahmatullahi alayhi, who is a narrator of Sunan al-Tirmidhi and also other kitabs as well. About him, Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned that he used to read 1,000 units of salah, 1,000 units of salah daily. And 100,000 tasbihs daily. 100,000 tasbihs. About Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala who's Qiyamul Layl. How did he spend the night? Was he sleeping? Because you might think he was a student, hard-working student, putting a lot of effort into acquiring knowledge of deen. So maybe he was snoring away through the whole night. No, this was not the case. Imam Ahmad rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned in Kitab al-Zuhd with an authentic sanad, Abu Uthman al-Nahdi rahmatullahi alayhi says that I was a guest at Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala in whose house. And every night I used to see Hazrat Abu Huraira, his wife and his khadim, his attendant, they used to divide the night into three parts. One portion of the night Hazrat Abu Huraira used to do Qiyamul Layl. Second portion his wife. Third portion the khadim, the attendant. This way they used to spend the whole night doing. In other words, you could say that the ibadah was ongoing and it was constant at night time in the house of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. I want to mention about another scholar because it's similar. Hassan bin Salih bin Hay. Hassan ibn Salih ibn Hay. An incident is mentioned about him in Siyarul A'lam that him, his brother Ali bin Salih bin Hay and his mother, they used to also divide the night into three portions. When his mother passed away, both brothers, they divided the night into two portions. Half-half. When his brother passed away, then Hassan ibn Salih rahmatullahi alayhi used to pray and engage himself in Qiyamul Layl for the whole night. You might think that Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a serious person. No. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu was not a serious person. He was a person who had a good sense of humor. In Musnadul Imam Ahmad rahmatullahi alayhi, it is mentioned with an authentic sanad that Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu was once on a journey. His colleagues, the people who were with him, traveling, they had prepared food. They sent somebody, go and inform Hazrat Abu Huraira that meal is ready. The person went, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, tell them I am fasting, I won't be eating today. The person came, informed the group, and they started eating. After 1 or 2 minutes, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu came and sat down and started eating. Now all of the people, they started looking at that person who came and informed them that you said that Hazrat Abu Huraira was fasting. What is it? He's come here? That means you misinformed us. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, no. The messenger gave you the correct message. I am not fasting. Number one, why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted a concession to the musafir. But I am receiving the sawab of fasting. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that whoever fasts the month of Ramadan and 3 days from each month, then that person is like as if he has fasted for the whole year. So I am receiving the sawab of a fasting person. That is why I said I am fasting. Another incident mentioned by Ibn Abi Dunya and Zubayr ibn Bakkar and Abdul Razzaq with an authentic sanad is that a person once came to Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he said, I was fasting today, but I went to my father's house. There was bread and meat. It was ready, food was ready. So I sat early in the morning and had a good breakfast. Then I remembered I was fasting. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, don't worry, Allahu at'amak. Allah fed you. Then he said, but it doesn't stop there, Hazrat Abu Huraira. I went to another person's house. There the person was milking the camel. A bowl of milk, fresh milk, was looking at me, staring me in the eye. So I had the whole bowl of milk. Then I remembered, oh, I'm fasting. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala said, don't worry. Allahu saqaq. Allah ta'ala has given you that drink, that bowl of milk to drink. Don't worry. Then he said, the story doesn't stop there either. I went back home and I felt tired. I fell asleep. After I woke up, I said to somebody, bring me some water. The person brought me water and I had that as well. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala who said, لِمَ تَعُودُ السِّيَامُ. Why are you repeating your fast throughout the day? You fast and then you break your fast and then you eat and then you say you're fasting again. What kind of a fast is this? Oh, it could mean لَمْ تَعُوَّدْ السِّيَامُ. It seems that you are not in the habit of fasting. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to cry out two times daily. In the morning and in the evening. He used to say, ذَهَبَ اللَّيْلِ وَجَاءَ النَّهَارِ وَعُرِضَ آلُ فِرْعَوْنَ عَلَى النَّارِ. The night has gone and the day has come and the people of Pharaoh have been presented before the fire. Referring to the verse in Surah Al-Mu'min, النَّارُ يُعْرَضُونَ عَلَيْهَا غُدُوًا وَعَشِيًّا. When he used to cry out, people used to cry with him. When he was passing away, he started crying. A person asked, why are you crying? Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala who said, min qillati zadi wa shiddati al-mafawiz, that I have less provision, little provision. I have no amal to show to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the desert journey is going to be tough, treacherous. When Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala who passed away, Walid bin Utbah led the Salatul Janaza, and this great muhaddis, the greatest muhaddis of this ummah, is buried in and resting in Jannatul Baqi. He was 78 years of age. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala who in the Janaza said, Rahimallahu Aba Huraira. Rahimallahu Aba Huraira. Allah have mercy on Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala who kana yahfazu. كان يحفظ على المسلمين حديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, that he used to preserve for the Muslims the traditions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. His mother's name was Umayma bint Sabih. Umayma bint Sabih. His father had passed away and he was an orphan. His mother, she embraced Islam. The incident is mentioned in Sahih Muslim, that Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala who was once inviting his mother to Islam, she then said some insulting remarks and she said something about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala who got very upset. He came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said that, pray for my mother, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then prayed, O Allah, guide the mother of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Abu Huraira knew in his heart that this dua will not go unanswered. He ran back home and before he could enter, he heard the noise of water. He was going to go in. His mother said, stop, because she was taking a shower. After that, she came out and she said that, I embrace Islam. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, full of joy, he came back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, O Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, make another dua for me. Make this dua that whoever hears about us, they love us, me and my mother. Make the believers beloved to us, and make us beloved to the believers. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also made this dua. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, who says that I even saw this also being accepted, this dua. It had materialized. No one heard about us, me and my mother, but they fell in love with us. Muhammad ibn Sirin rahmatullahi alayh says that Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, who used to say, Allahumma ghfir li Abi Huraira wa li ummi wa li man istaghfira lahuma. O Allah, forgive Abu Huraira, forgive his mother, and forgive those who ask for forgiveness for those two, referring to himself and his mother. Allahumma ghfir li Abi Huraira wa li ummi wa li man istaghfira lahuma. Hazrat ibn Sirin rahmatullahi alayhi says that we used to do istighfar for Hazrat Abu Huraira and his mother so that we could be part of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala whose dua. Because there's less time, I'm going to quickly move on to the hadith, because the hadith is the main thing in the lesson. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, who says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, لَيَنْتَهِيَنَّ أَقْوَامٌ يَفْتَخِرُونَ بِآبَائِهِمَ الَّذِينَ مَاتُوا. Those people should, who boast about their forefathers who have died, they should stop boasting, who boast about their forefathers who have died. إِنَّمَا هُمْ فَحْمُ جَهَنَّمُ. They are the coal or the fuel of hell. أَوْ لَيَكُونُنَّ أَهْوَنَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنَ الْجُعَلِ الَّذِي يُدَهْدِهُ الْخِرَاءَ بِأَنْفِ. Or they will be worse, contemptible, more contemptible in the eyes of Allah than the dung beetle which rolls up balls of dung with its nose. In other words, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that people should not boast about their lineage, about their forefathers. In this hadith, obviously, the forefathers are the mushrikeen. Their forefathers, who then embraced Islam, their forefathers died in the state of shirk. But in other ahadith, it's more general, whether the fathers died in the state of kufr, or they died in the state of iman. In both cases, one should not boast about their lineage, about their forefathers. إِنَّمَا هُمْ فَحْمُ جَهَنَّمُ. They are the coal of hell, fuel of hell. Or they will be more insignificant in the eyes of Allah than the dung beetle. Dung beetle, that beetle which feeds on feces, animal feces, and also buries it in the ground. It's called also a scarab. Next time you moan about food, think about this dung beetle, that you're not a dung beetle. A dung beetle is nature's recycler. It recycles dung. It makes it into balls of dung and then takes it away, buries it into the ground. It feeds on it. And it's also returning nutrients into the ground. If this beetle did not exist, we'd have a smelly earth, more dung, and billions more flies. So it is a ni'mah that this dung beetle exists. In one book of Maulana Shabir Thani rahmatullahi alayhi, I have read this incident that a person, he once said that, what is the purpose of creating the dung beetle? What good is it? Then that person fell ill. He had lost his eyes, or he had some kind of ailment, problem with his eyes. He went to the Hakim. The Hakim prescribed a medicine, and he said that in this medication, the dung beetle will be part of it. So he understood that in every creature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, there is a hikmah, wisdom behind it. أَوْ لَيَكُونُنَّ أَهْوَنَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنَ الْجُعَلِ الَّذِي يُدَهْدِهُ الْخِرَاءَ بِأَنْفِ. So, here in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that those people who boast about their forefathers, they resemble the dung beetle. And about the forefathers, they resemble the dung balls, which the dung beetle rolls up. And the action, the actual boasting resembles the rolling of the dung beetle of the dung balls. إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَذْهَرَ عَنْكُمْ عُبِّيَّةَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ وَفَخْرَهَا بِالْآبَاءِ عُبِّيَّةِ بَا مُشَدَّدْ يَا مُشَدَّدْ عَيْن مَدْمُومْ عُبِّيَّةِ Also can be read عِبِّيَّةِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has removed from you the arrogance of the pre-Islamic period. وَفَخْرَهَا بِالْآبَاءِ And its pride and boasting about forefathers. إِنَّمَا هُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ تَقِيٌّ وَفَاجِرٌ شَقِيٌّ A person is either a pious believer or a wretched, miserable sinner. If a person is pious, does it suit him to degrade and hold in contempt, think low of somebody else? No. وَفَاجِرٌ شَقِيٌّ He is a miserable sinner. Why should he think low of somebody else when he has no value in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? النَّاسُ كُلُّهُمْ بَنُوا آدَمْ Mankind, they are all the children of Adam alayhi salatu wassalam. Brothers, sisters of the same mother and father, they do not say, I am better than you, I am more superior than you. وَآدَمُ خُلِقَ مِنَ التُّرَابِ And Adam alayhi salatu wassalam was created from dust. He who has been created from dust, what right has he to boast about his lineage? This hadith also appears in Kitab al-Tafsir. There two more things have been mentioned. The narrator is Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar. The Prophet ﷺ said this in a khutbah, in a sermon which he delivered on on Fath Makkah, at the conquest of Makkah. And another thing, the Prophet ﷺ recited a Quranic verse. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا إِنَّا أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ To understand that verse, we have to go to the cause and the circumstance of revelation. Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma says, Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma says that when Hazrat Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was instructed to give azan on the rooftop of Kaaba, Musharrafa, some people made stinging remarks, insulting remarks. One person said, Attab bin Asid said, that thank goodness my father has died. Thank goodness my father has died and he did not see this day. What is this black slave doing on the roof of the Kaaba? Another person, Haris ibn Hisham, said that did Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not find anyone better than this crow, black crow? Upon this, the Quranic verse was revealed, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا إِنَّا أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ That the way one can excel over another is through the virtue of taqwa. There were a few more things, but anyway, the main hadith has been translated and we've got the message. May Allah give us the tawfiq, the ability to understand Quran and hadith properly and bring them into our lives and practice them. Especially the learned people need to do this so that other people learn from us. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ